as we continue with conversation this morning, from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, Nathan Bell's in the studio. And good morning, sir.
Thank you.
Welcome to the morning show. And let's see, you're an engineering professor at the university.
That's correct, civil engineering.
All right. Where are you from originally?
Originally, I grew up in Maine, pretty rural part of Maine.
From one side of the country to the other.
Exactly, all the way, east coast to west coast.
Didn't really change a whole lot, huh?
No, just things are a little bigger.
Things a little bigger out here.
Maine on steroids.
So you're working on a study about transportation in rural Alaska.
Yeah, more just statewide in Alaska.
Okay.
But we see a lot of these forms of transportation in rural Alaska as well. And so what we're talking about are more unique forms, and unique in the sense, or non-traditional in the sense that the, you know, our transportation planning and design hasn't typically considered these modes. So we're talking about ATVs, snow machines, and dog sleds being used as primary forms of transportation.
Because transportation, we think here, we're in the what we call the rail belt. So, you know, we got cars and trucks.
Right, yeah.
And then if you want to get there from here, aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get there from here, you may find out you're not getting into a car, a truck, or a taxi cab.
Precisely.
For that matter. It's a little different ride into town.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
So what are you looking at then? I spent about 15 years out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I know what you're saying about four-wheelers and snow machines and catching a ride from the airport into town.
Yep.
And even some dog teams are still out there.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you finding?
Well, we're finding too that those are moving into the more urban and small urban, I guess, and suburban areas of Alaska as well. It's not just out in rural Alaska. It's in both. And so right now, you know, our design guidelines for these types of vehicles just aren't as well established as they are for cars, trucks, mm-hmm. bikes, and pedestrians. And as we start building our roadways out, we're adding, you know, more roads, we're adding, you know, more bike lanes, more sidewalks, more shared use paths, that eats into the spaces that these other less conventional modes of transportation were using before. Mm-hmm. So now where do they go? You know, they can't really go onto to private property, so they're either traveling in the little gore area, you know, the strip between these facilities and the road, or just traveling on the roads themselves. And so we're trying to get a better handle on, you know, how people are using these modes, where they're using them, how frequently they're using them, how many miles traveled. Because if you look at the safety data, you know, how many people are being injured or being killed on these modes per year. And there's been years in the past in Alaska where there's been more people killed on snow machines near roadways than there were in cars.
Really?
Yeah. And not that, like, 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, but those are statistics that people don't really hear about.
No, they don't. It really hasn't been thought about as comprehensively as, you know, our more conventional forms of,
you know, because when you get out, you know, we're in the hubs, I guess you would say.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get out to the regional locations, which would be Nome, Kotzebue, Bethel, Barrow.
Yeah.
And then you get into what we call a sub-regional, which might be a larger village, to which the smaller villages around that village gravitate,
mm-hmm.
and you know, visit and go back and forth with snow machine or dog team.
Yeah.
Not so much four-wheelers because of the distance involved. But interesting thing in Bethel recently with the four-wheelers. So didn't they stop all four-wheelers unless they had a license on the four-wheeler or driver's license or such?
Yeah, so they changed the ordinance in the town it didn't actually change. They just decided they were going to cite more heavily.
Enforcing.
And so enforcement is another issue altogether with this.
Yeah.
Is, you know, if you're creating laws, if you're creating statutes on the use of these, and then you don't enforce them, then nobody's going to follow them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, well, like Kotzebue. I mean, they never enforced anything there, and all of a sudden they decided, you know, everybody had that license plate.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so you can't.
It's
really hard to just make that switch. Yeah, and so what Bethel,
you can't just let your 12-year-old run out and jump on a four-wheeler and drive into the store.
Okay, yeah, you're getting into all the nuts and bolts of the issues behind this. So what Bethel did, you know, they didn't really change their ordinance. They just decided, okay, we're going to start cracking down on it. And they went from issuing 7 citations over the course of like 7 or 9 years to 25 citations over the course of 2 days.
Yeah, and, right? And that sort of irked folks out
exactly,
there.
Exactly, yeah. You're going to put a bad flavor in a lot of people's
mouths.
It's
like, mouths. What's going on? All of a sudden, I can't go to the store.
Yeah.
You know.
But it's not, and so it varies depending on which of these, you know, towns, villages, and cities that you go to. So,
yeah.
You know, Bethel has slightly different laws than does Nome. Nome has slightly different laws than does, say, somewhere like Haines. And then we even saw, you know, in larger places like Wasilla, you know, Wasilla even tried to propose an outright ban back in 2014,
on
four-wheelers,
oh, wow.
and nobody wanted that, and so it didn't really fly. But Palmer, if you look at the statutes, Palmer banned them on city and town roads back in 1993.
That goes back, yeah.
So it varies all over the state.
Because four-wheelers is a basic mode of transportation.
Yeah, and that's what we're finding. You know, we did a survey, just completed a survey a couple months ago, and, you know, we're finding that at least, 45 to 50% of the use of both four-wheelers and snow machines are utilitarian, meaning that people are using it to fulfill their basic travel needs, to get from point A to point B, to go to the store, to get their groceries, you know. And even if you think about, you know, you mentioned young kids using these modes, you know, people under the age of 16, so they don't technically
They're
have
not
a driver's
supposed to.
Right, they don't have a driver's license. Well, I mean, there's nothing to say that... There was a push originally back when, you know, in the late 80s, when I believe it was the Consumer Product Safety Commission saw that there was a lot of injuries and fatalities happening on these types of modes. And so they pushed to have training, they pushed to discourage the use of individuals under the age of
publishing tips over something. These, mm-hmm. they're too small to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't have the strength of, you know, to push that four-wheeler back up, or back then it might have been a three-wheeler.
Right. But then even if we're just saying, okay, now we're talking about use of these, of ATVs and snow machines near roads, and we've got someone who's 14 years old that hasn't gone through a driver licensing program, then how do they know how to behave or interact with cars on that roadway system?
Yeah, but not like growing up on a farm and learning how to drive the pickup.
Yeah, and I don't want to discount those folks. It's just like that's all you've ever done. Because, you know, I was 14 years old growing up in Maine and riding my snow machine to school and parked it right in front of the school, because parents are busy, right? You know, they've got to get to work, they've got to do whatever they want to do, and sometimes it's hard to coordinate your lives such that you can get your son or daughter to football practice or hockey practice. And so it's just like, yeah, just take the four-wheeler, take the snow machine to school. And we see a lot of that in town here in Fairbanks.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're trying to do is just get a better handle on, you know, how often they're being used. Because if we're talking about from a safety perspective, when we look at our roadways for cars and trucks, and we're trying to say, you know, what's a dangerous intersection, what's a dangerous road, that we say, okay, how many accidents happen and how many people are traveling on that roadway, how many cars go through that intersection, and how many accidents do we see? And that tells us, you know, kind of the level of safety of that intersection and where we should prioritize.
That's
and so
interesting.
We don't have that data for ATVs and snow machines. We can look at, you know, trauma information from, you know, the hospitals, the local hospitals. You know, we can look at, you know, reported injuries or reported fatalities for these modes, but we don't have the numbers to say, you know, here's how many ATVs travel between, you know,
between point A and point B.
Exactly. That just, it doesn't exist.
Time. Because, you know, their four-wheelers are wintertime also.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, you know, along with the snow machine. And I was going to mention, a lot of the folks, when you get out into the rural areas, the four-wheeler or the snow machine is a mode they can afford.
Yep.
Where you can't afford to get that pickup flowing or whatever.
Yeah.
Nathan Bell's with us. He's an engineering professor from the university working on a study about transportation around Alaska. We'll take a short break and be right back. Morning show time now, 9 minutes till 9. Let's get back to the conversation here. And it's interesting, we're talking four-wheelers, snow machines, dog teams.
Yeah.
Even
mushing
out there.
Yeah.
Dog mushing from point A to point B. And that still happens every now and then.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I mentioned the fact that four-wheelers, you know, snow machines might be a more affordable choice.
Precisely, yeah.
Because folks can't really afford the rest of it.
Yeah, you know, they don't cost as much as a new car. You're going to fairly, like, not all of them, but, you know.
Yeah,
but, yeah, some of them are pretty expensive.
Some of those snow machines are pretty pricey.
Right, but if...
But, you know, flying in a pickup truck or something, you know, unless you work for an airline, you're an agent.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of tough, to, you know, you got to be...
But even then, once you have it, just getting around on it, you know, if you look at the fuel economy of an ATV or a snow machine, you know, they're averaging, upwards of...
And let me tell you, if you need a mechanic for a snow machine or an ATV or a Toyota stove, you're probably going to find one.
Yep.
But if you got a pickup truck in there...
Depends on the age of the pickup truck.
Yeah, depends on the age, but chances are you're not going to find a mechanic to work on it.
Yeah. But anyway, so, ATVs and snow machines, they're averaging... about 40 miles a gallon right now, and it, you know, ranges from 10 to 70 depending on the size of your engine, right? But the average fleet fuel economy of the personal automobile right now is only 24.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you're walking out the door in the morning and you're looking at your ATV and you're looking at your pickup truck, and the ATV gets, you know, 45 miles a gallon, your pickup truck gets 15, which one are you going to hop in if gas prices, you know, out in some of the more rural areas, if you're looking at Fort Yukon, it's $7.50 a gallon.
$7.50.
Gnome's $4.67 right now. Versus, you know, we're only $2.67 here in town.
Yeah.
But even still, if I'm getting twice the gas mileage on my ATV.
Well, of course, Gnome is a larger community, so that, you know, gas prices might be down a little bit.
No, I just talked to my friend yesterday. She said they were $4.67.
Yeah, but still, you know, with the quantity, the amount of gas they're able to sell versus, say, Fort Yukon. You know, as what, about 1,000 people, maybe?
If that, somewhere around there.
So, you know, it probably costs a little more to get it in there. So they need to, have the prices a little bit higher.
Yeah.
Yeah. How much, do you know how much it is in barrel?
I don't know in barrel currently, no. Yeah.
Every now and then I would do a gas price thing on Facebook.
Yeah.
All our friends, you know, what's the gas, how much is gas where you are?
Yeah.
And it, you know, it's crazy prices.
They are. I tried to find barrel yesterday. Yeah. I couldn't find it.
Yeah, it's like going into the grocery store in the village and trying to buy, you know, a watermelon.
Yeah.
You know, or a gallon of milk. You don't find fresh milk.
Oh, yeah. A gallon of milk can be upwards of 18 bucks bucks a gallon.
Yeah, that's worse than gas.
Exactly. So, yeah, so now you're saying, okay, here are the things that I'm weighing, right?
Yeah.
You know, where am I going to put my money into? So I'm going to take the cheaper of the options of transportation, and sometimes you know, walking is just not an option. So you know, hop on your four-wheeler.
Yeah, four-wheelers. You know, elders are able to get back and forth to the store, or to the school, or to activities.
Yeah. So then, how do we make that safe for everyone? You know, we start to build our road out. We start adding in all these, you know, bike and ped facilities that take away the space of where, you know, these were traveling. And I just want to, you know, my ultimate vision, you know, for the transportation system, not just in Alaska, but, you know, nationwide, worldwide, is that, you know, anybody anywhere can choose to take any mode that they want. They can walk out the door and I can say, I'm going to take the bus, I'm going to bike to work, I'm going to walk, I'm going to take my ATV or snow machine, because that's what, you know, fits my lifestyle the best. That's what works the best for me. And they can do that. They can get to where they want to go and then back
safely
with a reasonable like, I don't think there will ever be a point in time where we won't have deaths on our road.
Yeah.
I think it's just going to happen, even if we've got autonomous cars.
We're out of time already. Boy, that was fun.
Sucker.
Doggone it. We could keep going here. Thank you, Nathan, for coming in.
Hey, thanks, Charlie.
Be safe out there, all right? Drive with your headlights on.